All right, well, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue, and I will remind you guys that every single day, the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, 30-year veteran of the practice of law, daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. All right, let me just say, I've always been fascinated by dystopian movies, TV shows, books, all of it. I can't explain it. It's always fascinated me to see the portrayals of what life as we know it on Earth could look like after some cataclysmic event. I mean, what would people do? How would they live? Would they remember where they came from? Would they know how to accomplish the things that we take for granted today? Dystopian reality. I mean, it's amazing. I remember as a kid being sucked in when the closing scenes of Planet of the Apes revealed that the epic view of the fallen Statue of Liberty and Charlton Heston realizing he'd been walking on a future version of Earth the whole time. In high school, I was fascinated by the portrayal of Mel Gibson playing Max Rockatansky in Mad Max and the Road Warrior movies. I mean, I can repeat the lines from Road Warrior like nearly verbatim as he traversed the Australian wasteland in the post-apocalyptic world. And by the way, I was also into muscle cars, so that kind of hit two of my interests in a big way. In more recent years, one of my favorite actors, Denzel Washington, he made a modern classic called The Book of Eli. One of those flicks that I stop on every time I catch a glimpse of it on the channel guide. Eli, the main character, is working his way west across the former devastated United States in a post-nuclear environment with the last known Bible in the world. His mission, because God had given it to him, was to take that Bible to a place where it would be safe and cherished, but he had to cross the wastelands to do it. Dystopia. By the way, if you haven't seen the Book of Eli, I will not question your faith or your manhood, but let's just say you're missing out. Well, just name all the shows you can think of in that genre, right? The Walking Dead, Red Dawn, the list goes on and on. But this same fascination also extended to a constant interest in archaeology. Like the study of ancient civilizations, it's vital to understanding much of what we see around us today. But the underlying questions that I always ask myself are, what happened to them? How did that civilization just disappear? Why don't we know? I mean, how is it that great civilizations just disappeared from the annals of history? I mean, we can know some aspects of their plight. We can find relics, we can find archaeological digs, but not all. How is it that massive structures were built and abandoned in Central and South America without the modern world having a good record or a deeper understanding of them? How did the ancient Egyptians set about building the pyramids without leaving behind a full record that would tell future generations the how and the why and the when? And while we're at it, who in God's name built Stonehenge? And for what purpose? And how did they get the rocks over there the whole time? I mean, it's just, you look at it and think, why don't we know? Well, the modern world is filled up with mysteries of the ancient world. Things that confound us because the former gave way to the latter without leaving behind an express understanding of their goals and their language and their customs. I mean, we can piece them together best we can, create archaeological evidentiary patterns that give rise to some social theories, but in the end, they're just theories. We may never know why some civilizations that dominated certain corners of this earth rose and fell. All we can do is speculate as to what it took to put an end to an entire nation of people. Well, my prayer too, though, is that we never have that said about us. I don't ever want it to be said by some future historian or archaeologist that indications are that during the mid-21st century, the great decline of America began. I would not want that. I would not want them to look back with confusion and try to piece together what tore apart the nation that historians understand was once called the United States. What a tragedy it would be if one day people dug a hole to find our buildings, or used radar or LIDAR or other technologies to rediscover our roads. I would dare say that modern civilization is more advanced, more expansive, and certainly more recorded for future posterity than any generation that came before us, but you know, think about it. They used to say that about the Roman Empire. All of that to say, I'm watching with a sharp eye as I see the very institutions that have made this nation great being constantly assaulted by progressive agendas that just seem intent on tearing holes in the very fabric of who we are as a society. A while back, you may recall, I gave you some opinions on what experts say led to the fall of Rome. And it wasn't not what you think. It was not one cataclysmic event. There was no singular volcanic eruption, no asteroid. No. It was a slow erosion of policies of their governance that left us with nothing more than an archaeological view of ancient Roman society and leaves us wondering today about certain aspects of that civilization despite the fact that ancient Rome is really not that ancient. is not so remote in time that we shouldn't know. Truthfully, what we do know about their demise is actually eye-popping. You see, the factors that modern scholars believe led to the downfall of Rome were things like mass migration without border control, deep schisms in their political infrastructure that caused a breakdown into partisan infighting, a weakening of their military and law enforcement by a society that became dominated by social elitists who believed they were impervious to danger. By the way, which also led to a loss of power on the world stage as their word and their presence and their ability to project influence began to wane in the eyes of the rest of the world. Over time, political laziness gave rise to the splitting of Rome into various geographic entities because it was just easier. It was also the beginning of a loss of their national identity, which began to manifest itself in a loss of national pride. Well, by the time the Roman leadership realized it, the great mystery of Rome was nothing more than a shadow of its former self. The empire collapsed. It was relegated to the ash heap of history. And I got to ask you, do those same trends that I just outlined for the fall of Rome, do they sound familiar? Because they should. They're exactly what we've been seeing progressives trying desperately to put in place all around us in these days. And that's not conspiracy, by the way. That's not hyperbole. That's reality. At every turn right now, you are seeing desperate attempts to rewrite who we are as a people. There's a growing pantheon of liberal elites who are funding and planning and implementing an attempt to say that America is systemically racist, that American exceptionalism on the world stage is not real nor acceptable, that the mores, traditions, and culture of this nation needs to be broken down and rewritten. Speaking of borders, we haven't had one on the southern edge of our landmass for several years, and the political laziness that caused Rome to be split, well, that can be evidenced by the constant attempts to promote division in our society with things like, you know, race and vaccination status and willingness to accept absurd social pronouncements like pregnant men and what pronouns a minor child can use in school. But listen, here's the thing. I believe that we have been given a rare opportunity, a chance to actually learn from history so we don't have to repeat it. You see, civilizations somehow come and go. Rarely because they were just vanquished in one major battle. It's usually an erosion. And we have now been given the chance here in 2025 to reverse that trend, to push back and restore and to catch a fresh breath. That's why what's happening with things like Doge is so important, because it not only exposes what the left has been doing, but it also inflames our passions and moves people to demand that it be fixed. That's why the last election gave us such a mandate, because people rose up and said, "Not on my watch. Not while I can breathe." Look, we truly have been given a gift, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to preserve and protect rather than to degrade and destroy. And it's going to take work. The left did all it could to dismantle us as a culture, as a people, and really as a nation. They pushed open borders, equity over equality, spending as a solution to all things. The left believed that the military was a plaything for progressive policies and that the economy was built by government, not by the private sector. But again, we have been given this chance now to restore faith and values and patriotism and really common sense. And I believe I speak for the majority of this audience. We are not going to fade away. Our goal is to pursue the next greatest generation, the next golden age, the next Reagan economy. We're going to get the woke out of our schools and out of our churches. We're going to once and for all secure our borders. We're going to be energy independent, and we're going to be the biggest dog on the block again. And I do not want future generations to wonder what happened to that place they used to call the United States. Not on our watch. Not on our watch. It only happens if we let it happen. It only happens if we stand idly by. We cannot allow the dystopian fantasies of Hollywood to become our own dystopian reality. So let's fix this. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.